93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. CBS News has reviewed an FBI bulletin to law enforcement nationwide saying that due to the war in Gaza, groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS may increase calls for violence in the U.S. FBI Director Christopher Wray testifies on Capitol Hill.
Well, there may have been times over the years where individual threats could have been higher here or there than where they might be right now. I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated all at exactly the same time.
According to the bulletin, likely targets could include churches, synagogues, and members of the Jewish community. As Israel intensifies its attacks in Gaza, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the military would have to retain open-ended security control over the Gaza Strip long after the war against Hamas ends. The U.S. says it opposes occupation of Gaza. CBS's Chris Livesay in Jerusalem.
The last time Israel occupied the Gaza Strip up until 2005, that meant it had to evict settlers. This time around, Netanyahu isn't talking about sending settlers back into the Gaza Strip. So that's at least one major difference between what one might interpret as occupation.
The Senate approves more than 420 military promotions after GOP Senator Tommy Tuberville ends his blockade over a Pentagon abortion policy. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Alabama Republican Tommy Tuberville backed down amid pressure from a bipartisan group of lawmakers who said it was taking a toll on military readiness and service members, even though he says he did the right thing for the unborn and our military. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says,
I hope no one does this again. And I hope they learn the lesson.
Tuberville says the holds will continue for about 11 of the highest-ranking military officers. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
A special election is called to fill George Santos's former U.S. House seat.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says a special election will be held Tuesday, February 13th, to replace George Santos. The 3rd Congressional District represents parts of the Queensborough of New York City as well as Long Island. It could be an opportunity for Democrats to pick up a seat in a district that voted for President Biden in the last election. Santos was removed from office last week, becoming just the 6th member of the House and the first Republican to be expelled from their seat. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
The Trump campaign says Arizona has become the 7th state to throw out a 14th Amendment ballot challenge to keep former President Trump off the ballot in that state. Election law expert David Becker.
What they're saying is this isn't the proper time to raise it because he's not the nominee yet. And right now it's just the process of the Republican Party selecting their nominee. But it was always going to be somewhat of an uphill climb.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw.
5:40. For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day. But it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers take an extra day off. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have an extra day off this week because they don't play until Monday night against the struggling New York Giants. That's good for several players still recovering from injuries suffered in their big win against the Chiefs on Sunday night. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team advances in the NCAA tournament tomorrow night. They'll be at Penn State against the home team in the regionals. Game time, 6 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Knicks tonight at Fiserv Forum for the in-season tournament. The winner advances to Las Vegas. What will happen there?
Whatever happens in Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
But you'll bring the trophy home if you win it.
I don't know. I might stay in Vegas. Well, do we get some cash if we win?
Yeah.
Play some blackjack?
Yeah, sure. You could
stay.
You might have another game.
Huh? You know, I'm going to go play some roulette, put it on black.
Ooh, okay.
Double my money. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Red 34.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 27. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 38 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night, lows around 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I am your host, Pete Schwabba, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back for night number two. This is only our second show. I'm very excited that we've got a great show tonight for you guys. As usual, and when I say usual, I mean second night, hoping for a lot of audience participation tonight. We got a really fun show planned here for you. We are going to, and when we say we, I mean I and my trusted associate, Conrad. Say hi, Conrad.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I mean, it was only one night, so I assumed you'd show.
Yeah.
It usually takes a lot longer for people to tell me to go, take a long walk off a short pier. So anyway, we'd like to welcome our Badger listeners. I hear the Badgers won again tonight. Is that correct, Conrad? You're the sports guru here of the of Nightlight.
Yeah, so we won 70-57.
Oh, that's a great win.
Yeah.
AJ Not unexpected, Storr, but...
AJ Storr had a good game, 22 points.
Okay.
Crowell had 18. And then off the bench, Blackwell had 10. So,
wow,
great game from those guys.
Solid team effort. And a big win. And I don't know. I mean, this is an entertainment show for the most part. But I look at sports. Sports is entertainment. I mean, and in a way, it's even more so. Like, you don't know how a game is going to end. The script is not written.
Yeah.
So, to me, sports and car chases really are the only two things you're watching. You have no idea what's going to happen. So... that was a great win for the Badgers the other day against number 3 Marquette, and then they play number 1. Who is it? Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. Face Arizona on Saturday.
Yep. All right, so they're off to a great start. That's excellent. So welcome, Badger listeners, on many of the Civic Media affiliates. A good night for Bucky. Conrad, I gave you homework last night. I don't know if you remember this, but we talked about, and this is one thing I want to do here on Nightlight, is I want everybody listening, feel free to share tidbits of information about your county or your town. I want to learn about every corner of Wisconsin. The show's theme is show business and Wisconsin culture and fun stories. So last night I shared some people who were from Marinette, where I grew up, part of my childhood, and I was surprised that there were that many cool people from there. So I want to hear from people all over the state about people from your county, your town, your neck of the woods, your nape of the way, and share that. So last night, anyway, I asked Conrad that, where he was from in Wisconsin, where he grew up, and you told me, Conrad, so take it from there.
Yeah, so you told me last night, find someone, you know, remarkable from my hometown, which is Kewaskum, Wisconsin.
Nice.
Yesterday I said, we're mainly known for Sunburst, which I forgot to say is the largest tubing hill in America.
Wow.
So I did some homework and I found Glenway Westcott.
Glenway Westcott. I'm not familiar with his work.
He was born in 1901. So
that's probably why.
Yeah.
We ran with different crowds.
So he was a poet in 1920s, and he grew up in Kewaskum, but he moved away to Germany and then to France.
Huh. So, okay, that's pretty cool. So he could not, what, find a muse in Kewaskum, or what happened there?
Yeah, I'm guessing not, because back then I'm guessing it was just like a couple houses.
Yeah, and a huge tubing hill, which we didn't have tubes yet. So obviously that huge hill had not been fostered yet, the love of the hill, so he couldn't write poems about it. So he had to leave.
Had to go to Germany.
Hey, that's pretty cool. And I applaud you for doing your homework. That's very impressive that you remembered, A, and B, the classes pass-fail, and you passed. So good for you.
Good news.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. Tonight's question, last night it was bad Christmas movies. No, it was movies you could not turn off. Christmas movie, your favorite, actually, it was the exact opposite. I'm forgetting my own show. Tonight's question, what is your least favorite Christmas song? Tell us that song that drives you insane every year and almost takes you out of, you almost don't want it to be Christmas anymore because the song is so bad. So please share those with us. You can text or call at 920-264-0606. We want to hear, we've got some of our own. I've got several that I just can't, like I said, it just takes me out of the mood. I want nothing to do with Christmas when I hear these songs. So I want to hear from you. Text or call. Let's discuss your least favorite songs, the ones that make you want to just go crazy. And we'll do that tonight throughout the show. Rob Thomas is going to join us at 8:30. Rob is the awesome entertainment reporter for the Capital Times. We're going to talk about a couple movies. I know he saw one that I saw, and just a number of topics, because the show is also about helping people and discussing what we're watching and streaming movies and TV. Like, I want to have those discussions with people. So you can always share that too, but we're going to talk about that with a pro at 8:30. That's Rob Thomas. And then theater director from Marinette, Wisconsin, Brittany Welch is going to join us to talk about a show that is happening in Marinette this weekend called Christmas by the Bay. It's the 5th annual community sing-along. It's a lot of fun, and I know there are still seats available. So Brittany will join us at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. And then we'll talk with comedian and writer Mike Mercury, who is a Madison-based comedian, and I've known Mike for several years. We worked together. We worked the road when we were both stand-up comedians. He will join us at 9:30. And in the meantime, we will talk about a whole lot of bad songs and talk about what you're watching, what you're streaming, what you can't get enough of, what you think is binge-worthy, and what you think is cringe-worthy. You can always share those two at 920-264-0606. Okay, so bad Christmas songs. This is, I don't even know. Okay, look, I gave you some, Conrad, to play. I want to work through some of my all-time least favorites. So why don't we start? Why don't we start with do the Bon Jovi one first?
Sure.
And I'm gonna. This is called Backdoor Santa, by the way. He keeps the little girls happy while the boys are out to play. Very creepy. Oh, my gosh. Okay, stop. You can stop it for now. That's another lyric. I give them a few pennies so we can be alone. I mean, I don't dislike Bon Jovi. I don't really have an opinion either way. I think some of his stuff is okay. Seems like a pretty cool dude. But this song is just creepy. I make all the little girls happy while the boys go out to play. I give them a few pennies so we can be alone. I keep some change in my pocket in case the children are at home. Wow. And you know what I love the most, too? When you hear a bad song or when you look it up on YouTube, are the comments. And that it kind of makes me at times lose my faith in humanity. Some of these songs, here's one of the comments was love it. Gives Christmas more spice. You know, I'm not a prude, really, I'm not. I've had sex multiple times in my life. But do we have to sexualize Christmas? What is it, like Backdoor Santa? And it's all this innuendo. Isn't that what Halloween is for? To dress up and be silly. Conrad, do you have a thought on this song? What's your take?
I had the same thought when I first listened to it. When you gave me the song, you're like, I really just hate the song. And I listened to it, and I was like, I can understand why.
Yeah.
I heard the first lyric when you're talking about, like, just talking about little kids. I was like, I don't know if this is all right.
Steer clear. You don't need to go there. Here's my favorite song, though, under the comments was... This audio version must be what a shark tastes like. So, wow. All right. All right. So that's Bon Jovi and that's Backdoor Santa. Not a fan. You're welcome to disagree. Text or call. Let's have a discussion here. And here's a classic that for all the wrong reasons, go ahead and play this one. This is Grandma Got Run Over. You've all heard it. Let's hear a little bit of that one.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Ugh.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Highly unlikely, by the way.
There's no such thing as Santa. But as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Okay, so stop
it
there.
I've
been drinking too much eggnog.
Is that... So they're saying they believe in Santa? Because Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Either... I guess they kind of lost me there, but it's also like, it sounds like they're happy. And was grandma not nice? I mean, I like my grandma for the most part, you know, I'm sure I'd trip her occasionally just to get a chuckle, but play a little more, Conrad.
Of the grandma got
run over. Got run over, yeah. Because there's one line in particular I want to hear. If you don't have it queued up, it's fine. I can read it. It's we're all so proud of grandpa. He's taken this so well. We see him in there watching football, drinking beer, and playing cards with a cousin, Belle. And in the video, he's like hitting on the girl.
Yeah.
So grandma's gone. Let's have a party. It was tragic. She's got hoof marks on her forehead, but I'm going to hit on my cousin. Play some cribbage. I don't get it. What do you think, Conrad? Is that, am I off?
You're not off. Okay. I saw the video when I was playing it before, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Crazy. Here's another lyric. Now the goose is on the table and the pudding made of pig and a blue and silver candle that would have matched the hair on grandma's wig. Women don't like to be outed like that. Like they don't want people to know they're wearing wigs. Now she's deceased. You're making fun of her hair and pudding made of pig. I just, this is one family I don't want to hang out with. I don't want to eat their food. And I want grandpa to stay away from me. Here are some of the comments. A classic. I don't know if it's a classic. And here's another, this one blew me away. This is such a beautiful, sentimental Christmas melody. Truly captures the mood of the season. Grandma buying the farm, that puts me in the Christmas mood. Did a lot of people lose their grandmas this way? How is this sentimental? People relate to this? Here's the other one. Grandma's, your favorite song. This is a favorite song for me. I can hear my 11-year-old laughing as he replays this 50 times. Sleep with one eye open, lady. That's all I'm going to say. That's unbelievable. That one's a bad... Same? Are we on the same page there, Conrad?
Yeah.
Feel free to disagree.
No, I definitely agree.
Here's another one. It's my favorite Christmas song for 33 years and counting. He's waiting. He's waiting to have his socks knocked off by a new song. I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway... We've got a great show coming up. We're going to do more bad songs. We got some doozies. And, we'll keep it going. And I want to hear from you guys. The phone number is 920-264-0606. More from Civic Media Radio Network. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Happy holidays, everybody. We are easing into the Christmas season tonight. Show number two of Nightlight, and we are talking bad Christmas songs. Rob Thomas is coming up at 8:30, a little after 8:30. We'll talk to Rob about what he's watching, and we'll probably ask him his least favorite Christmas song, too. But I want to hear from you. What are your least favorite Christmas songs? You can text or call to share them, 920-264-0606. That is the number to call or text. We got some texts here. Jingle Bell Rock. You know, that's one I know. It's overplayed. And I guess it depends with me who is singing Jingle Bell Rock. Some of them I kind of like. It's kind of catchy. But I get it. That's totally overplayed. And someone said, no more grandma. And I don't know if that means they've offed their own grandma or they are done with the song, but either way, they're done with grandma, whatever that means. And and here's another thing. Okay, so this was brought to my attention today. We're going to talk about this and then we'll do some more bad songs. But this is a game that a friend of mine shared with me today. It's called Rules of Reverse Whamageddon. And I was unaware of this. This is apparently... You play this game. If you hear the Wham song Last Christmas somewhere else, not you're playing it, you're supposed to go online and Conrad, help me out here. You leave a hashtag.
Yeah.
And you say, and you list the song, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I have the little cheat sheet up here.
And thank you.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. And you have to, it's from December 1st to midnight on December 24th. Whoever hears the song the most and posts it wins. And I don't know what they win. I'm looking at the sheet here too. They can, but it's all in the honor system. Like, what a dumb game. Like, not a dumb game, whatever. You can post it, but you don't win anything. And it's all in the honor system. Like, there could be psychos out there just posting that they've heard the song over and over. I don't know. I like that song, actually. I'm a fan of the song. It is a little overplayed, but it says players don't get points for playing it themselves. But if you hear it, like, in a supermarket, or on a bus or an elevator or whatever, you're supposed to go on to your social media accounts, post that you've heard it, and hashtag it. And then people will know that you play this game. And they'll have you over for eggnog or something. You can send, I guess you get a group. That would be the way to do it. You can get a group together, and you can exchange how many times you hear the song. It's still in the honor system. I don't know if I trust my friends that much as I love them. Would you play this, Conrad? You going to play this game?
I don't think I would because I'm not a fan of the song.
Okay. The player gets 10 points as soon as they recognize the original version of the song. This game sounds like it was made up kind of by someone who just wanted to make up a game and they didn't really put a whole lot of thought into it.
Or they just really liked the song.
Or they just really liked the song, but then sit at home and play the song.
Don't torture anyone else.
Don't torture the rest of us. Right. Don't drag us into your online Monopoly game of, and why is it reverse? It's called reverse Whamageddon. Whamageddon is fine with me. I don't know why they added the reverse in there. See, it's just made up. Somebody, I don't know. I don't get it. All right. Should we do another song, Conrad? Let's do. This is one of my least favorite. They're all my least favorite, but this one I couldn't even believe it the first time I heard this. This is called Dominic the Donkey. Take it away. Catchy intro.
Hey, jingity-jing. It's ooh. Dominic the Donkey. Jingity-jing. The Italian Christmas Donkey.
He's Italian.
La, 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic.
the cutest little donkey. You'll never see him kick.
When Ooh, Santa he said visits, kick, right?
Paisans with Dominic.
Okay, yeah, you can cut it.
Because the reindeer cannot climb.
So the song goes on to say Santa needs Dominic the donkey because there are all these Italian mountains and the reindeer can't get over the mountains. So he needs Dominic the donkey who, you know, he's got the strength of 8 reindeer apparently. And he lives in Italy. He's an Italian Christmas donkey. I don't know where that came from. What'd you think of this one?
I didn't know what I was listening to when I first heard it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
I mean, great chorus. The e-aw, e-aw. I love it. Yeah. You know, catchy. I dare you not to tap your toe. Here's one of the comments. This is real. I can't understand why I want... Oh, this is a real great song. I can't understand why I want Hippopotamus for Christmas gets all the airplay when this gem just sits there. That's a comment. Somebody's mad they're hearing the Hippopotamus song so much. They want to hear e-aw, e-aw, Dominic the Donkey. So they're kind of in this abyss of Christmas songs. I would hate to be in that house. This played every year, every Christmas at my Sicilian grandparents' house. We'd put it on and dance around like idiots. So they're Sicilian and they're playing this. Don't they have Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin? I don't get it. And then here's another one. This is the best Christmas song. I have no regrets playing this for my class. That's like a really bad grooming. Like they're going home to mom and dad singing Dominic the Donkey. Wow. They're playing that in school. And then this is the scariest comment. I was dancing around the coffee table by myself. I don't know if that means no one else was there, which is weird, or if everyone was just like, check out the psycho. We're not joining in. That's crazy. We have time for one more. Let's do the Simpson sisters.
Oh.
You got that one?
Oh, yeah. This is a great one.
This is Ashley and her sister singing.
Little baby bird, I'm a thunder.
Ugh. Dear God.
I am a poor boy too, but I'm a thunder. I have Ooh. No gifts to bring, but I'm a thunder. Too late before the king, but I'm a thunder. I'm a thunder. I'm a thunder.
Okay, that'll do.
You sure you don't want to listen to more?
My problem was with the rip-a-boom-boom, rip-a-boom. It's like they're trying to sound sexy. Or it's like, why? And the Simpson girls, they seem like good people. Nice girls. Not untalented, in my opinion, in some realm. But I don't know if this is the worst, but it's bad. If you watch the video, their faces are like contorting and their whole body is having these jerky motions like, if you're doing that while you're singing, you're not singing properly, in my opinion. Just sing the song. Don't over... You know what I mean? It's like they're overproducing it. Conrad, am I on an island here?
I saw the video, and I was on that same island.
Yeah, you don't need to... You don't need to be sexy when you're singing a Christmas song. Just sing the song. That's a great song. I remember that from my childhood, and I'm watching this going, God, if they sang it like that for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they would have... ran off and left the manger to get away from the Simpson girls. Okay, so we'll have some more bad songs coming. We have even worse songs coming up.
Yeah.
Rob Thomas is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We're going to read some more texts. You guys are weighing in. That's awesome to see. And we'll get to more of your texts in just a minute. And Rob Thomas from the Capital Times to talk some great movies and TV. It's Pete Schwabba. It's Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Authorities across the country are being warned about the latest terror threat on the U.S. In a bulletin reviewed by CBS News, feds warn that terror groups will likely use the war in Gaza to call for violence this holiday season. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
The FBI director was telling senators that the U.S. is facing the highest risk of attack in years, that there are blinking lights everywhere, and warning terrorists will exploit the southern border.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meets with relatives of some of the 138 hostages held in Gaza. Correspondent Robert Berger says it was a tense meeting.
Basically, they were angry. They urged him to restart negotiations with Hamas and to make whatever concessions are necessary to bring their loved ones home.
Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville ends his blockade of most military promotions over a Pentagon abortion policy, and more than 420 promotions have been approved.
It was pretty much a draw. I mean, they didn't get what they wanted. We didn't get what we wanted.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 27. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 38. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Low is around 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. You guys are doing great with these texts, by the way. We're asking people tonight, what is your least favorite Christmas song? And asking for people to weigh in with theirs. And it's 920-264-0606. That is the number. You can call or text if you want to have a discussion. If you want some back and forth about your choice, call in. If not, a text is fine, too. Here's one. Bad Christmas song of the 80s, 1989, Funky, Funky Christmas. I know that song. The New Kids on the Block. Actually, I thought it was NSYNC. And Donnie Wahlberg, terrific singer. Terrific singer. He meant terrible singer. Terrible singer, Donnie Wahlberg, but great actor on Band of Brothers. And he's also on that show. I can't think of the name. My dad loves it. Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck. He's actually not a bad actor. Both the Wahlberg boys, I will say, I like their acting better than I like their singing. But that's just me. Here's another text we got earlier. 80s bad vibe, Bon, really. I'm assuming that's referring to the Bon Jovi song that was called Backdoor Santa that we played a clip of. We may have to go back to it later. We'll see. That's how bad it was. So keep those texts coming, folks. We'll keep reading them. Our next guest, I want to find out what his least favorite Christmas song is. And we'll ask him that along with a host of other showbiz questions that I always have whenever I talk to this guy who I've become a good friend with. Unless he reviews something I did and doesn't like it, then I will badmouth him till the edge of the universe. But please welcome, having said that, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you? Congrats good. On the new show.
Hey, thanks. I'm hoping you'll be a major part of it because I love talking to you and hearing your opinions on everything. So.
Oh, I'd love to be.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us. Yeah. So, okay. You posted either on Twitter or Facebook about the movie The Killer,
yes.
Which was a Netflix original, I believe.
Correct.
Okay. So, which is great. By the way, I saw the film. I liked it. And Netflix, I don't know how you feel, but I used to feel like Netflix would, sometimes my Friday and Saturday nights would be, I would start like 4 Netflix movies and keep moving on and then just give up. But sometimes they put out a pretty good one, an original, that is. So you like The Killer. Tell us why you like The Killer, Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, with Netflix, like, I mean, the fact that I sat down opening weekend and watched this movie from start to finish on Netflix is, like, a major accomplishment. Because usually, you open up the queue and, like, 10 movies pop up and go, oh, maybe that, oh, maybe I'll watch that later. And then you just forget all about them, and then you go to bed.
Right.
But The Killer is the new movie from David Fincher, who directed, Fight Club?
Seven.
Panic Room, Seven, all these great movies, The Social Network. Right. And I loved it. I mean, it stars Michael Fassbender as the title suggests, a hired assassin. And he screws up his first job in the beginning of the film in Paris, and then spends the rest of the film kind of on the run and then trying to get revenge on his former, I guess I would say coworkers and boss, who kind of double crossed him. It's just a brilliantly directed, very lean thriller, has kind of out of nowhere, one of the best fight scenes of the year.
Yeah.
It just comes out of nowhere. I loved it. And great actors like Tilda Swinton's in it for like a scene.
How about that? Were you expecting? Well, I don't want to give anything away, but I was like, oh, she'll be the one that. Anyway, there's kind of it's interesting. She's great in it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I won't give away, but she's sort of a competitor of his. If he's McDonald's, she's Burger King, but.
Right.
it's such an interesting, elegant, like I said, lean thriller. And it hooked me for 2 hours watching Netflix, which is like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because you're always thinking like, well, I could be watching that instead. There's just so much out there. And so,
yeah,
I was really happy with that.
I'm the same way. And I'll be honest, it took me a while to decide if I liked it. Like, it starts off kind of slow with him just kind of talking to himself while he's waiting patiently to do his job.
Right.
And my wife and I were watching, like, do we like this? And then the way it picked up, I love that he's just a regular dude. He's not a steroid guy. He's not an action hero. He's a regular guy, which makes that fight scene even better that you're talking about. And
yeah,
and I like that he starts off, there's great character arc, and I don't always need that, but in this it had it. It was just a really insightful and kind of a smart thriller, in my opinion. And I think I mentioned to you when you posted, I love the pace. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's slow. It's interesting, though, the whole time to me.
And it's in chapters, so it's like, every 20 minutes, the location changes, the target changes, and
right.
It just keeps kind of moving forward. And like you said, the thing I thought was so interesting, I wrote about it in my Substack newsletter, was like, he is kind of a boring guy, despite his job.
Right.
Like, the way he talks, it's like, you sit next to a salesman at the Chili's 2 at the airport, and he's like bending your ear about his job. And it's like, right. You know, it's just, that's his right. job is shooting people through the head from 1,000 yards away.
Right.
I thought that was really funny, kind of. And the whole idea that just because this guy is, you know, a hitman doesn't make him James Bond or, you know,
right.
suave superhero. So right.
And stuff goes wrong.
It's a really,
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Yeah. Then it gets really interesting when he's got a scramble.
And it kind of forces you to keep up too. I remember a couple times thinking, now where is he? What's going on here? But then,
right.
You know, you trust the director, you trust the writer to kind of explain it through the action of the character. And it's just, I loved it. Are you into kind of the horror, not the horror, but the action Christmas movies, Rob? Like, did you see Violent Night or Silent Night that just came out last weekend?
There's a lot of them lately. I want to see Silent Night because it's John Woo.
Right.
He's like one of the great action directors, made Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage in the 90s and made these great Hong Kong movies, The Killer. It's his first movie in a decade, I think. And apparently it has no dialogue, I heard, or something like that?
It has no dialogue. And there's no redemptive. Okay, so I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. I usually check there before I go see a movie. And critics was like something like 80% liked it and like 45% of audiences. So I said, all right,
okay,
something controversial either in the directions. Yeah, something's going on here. I like seeing movies like that. And I always wonder. But yeah, there's no dialogue. And it's just, I mean, there's background, like shots fired on police radios. But it's him just, and I'm not giving anything away. His son dies at the beginning of the movie. They give you that in the trailer and everything. And it's just Joel Kinnaman, who I like, getting even and mad. And I have some issues with it. But at the end of the day, John Woo, I wanted to see it because I wanted to see what he was going to do. And, you know, the action is great and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, when I left, I saw it with my wife and daughter, and we were all kind of depressed. And we're like, I kind of admired what he did. There was nothing redeeming about it. It was just, I don't know. We'll have to talk after you see it. But did you see Violent Night?
I did. That looks like a lot more fun.
Yeah, that was really. David Harbour's
Santa Die Hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, so what are you watching, Rob? What can you recommend to people that you think is cool?
I just saw this movie Dream Scenario with Nicolas Cage. Have you seen that?
I have not.
It's a crazy movie. It reminded me a lot of like, Being John Malkovich or one of those kind of like trippy comedies, but they're so black that like, nobody in the movie's in on the joke. In this case, Nicolas Cage plays a kind of a mild mannered, nerdy college professor, and people start seeing him in their dreams, like complete strangers, thousands of them.
Oh, I read about that.
They have these dreams, and then there's this guy just standing in the corner of the dream while they're being chased by a tiger or whatever. And there's this guy standing there, and all of a sudden people find out it's the same guy, and he doesn't know anything about it. And all of a sudden becomes this sort of viral celebrity because people are interested in him, even though he didn't really do anything.
Wow.
And then in the dreams, his character starts turning more Freddy Krueger-ish, and suddenly he becomes like a pariah, a public pariah. Cause even though, again, he had nothing to do with any of this. So it's sort of like the satire of like viral celebrity and how people, you know, can be, you know, honored one moment and hated the next moment. And
right.
It's really interesting. It's in theaters right now. It opened last week, I think. And it's a really strange, but I don't know if it would be as uplifting as Silent Night, but it's certainly interesting to watch.
Oh, boy. If Silent Night is the whimsical comedy compared to that,
right.
People are in for a really depressing holiday. But overall, thumbs up, mediocre, thumbs
down?
Yeah,
I would say thumbs up. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, but
okay.
Like if that description piqued your attention, then I think you would like it. Like I said, I wrote in my review, it's like the best Charlie Kaufman movie that Charlie Kaufman had nothing to do with.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's great.
John Malkovich. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. My favorite line in Being John Malkovich, when the cab driver looks at him and says, "Oh man, where do I know you from? I know you. Where do I know you from?" And Malkovich just says, "I don't know." It's like one of those deadpan lines. It's just gorgeous.
That seems true to life to me.
Yeah.
What little I know of John Malkovich. Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to talk to you about Taylor Sheridan. Just kind of an overall, your thoughts on him. He, for those of you listening, I'm talking to Rob Thomas, by the way. He's the Capital Times entertainment reporter and just has great insights on all things TV and film, in my opinion. He's just great at it. So Taylor Sheridan wrote Yellowstone, created Yellowstone. He wrote the film Hell or High Water, which I really liked.
Awesome.
He signed like a 12-show deal, and he is churning out shows like like McDonald's and Burger King, like you mentioned before. I saw one of his shows this weekend called Lioness. I watched and I binge watched. I really liked it. Not a huge fan of Yellowstone and not a huge fan of Tulsa King. Tulsa King was like, it's Sylvester Stallone. Kind of a cool premise. This mob boss is ousted to Tulsa to live and run things out there and he hates it. And it's kind of like an imitation of a TV show to me. But I loved Lioness. I don't. What kind of relationship do you have with the work of Taylor Sheridan?
So, well, I agree that I thought Hell or High Water was one of the best movies of that year with Chris Pine, these two brothers,
right?
Robin Banks, I think, to save the family farm. Was that why they were doing
yeah.
it? I can't remember, but it was something like that. So it was like a thriller, but very grounded in the real world. And there's another great one he did called Wind River. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I did.
Renner.
Yeah.
Also very good.
I don't know if I realized that was Taylor Sheridan when I watched it.
Yeah.
Though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's kind of got the lock on like sort of West Rocky Mountain, modern day drama. I agree with you. I've only watched a couple episodes of Yellowstone. It didn't grab me. It was a little more traditional kind of, I mean, it wasn't soap opera-y, I thought. I mean, maybe I need to give it more time. I started one of the other, the one with, I think it's Yellowstone 1923, because Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren are in it. And I'll probably come back to that one. It didn't stick, but.
And the one with Sam Elliott. I've heard the spinoffs are really good, you know.
Yeah, that's a great cast. I think that's 1880s. I mean, eventually he'll have one for every year. They'll be like Yellowstone 1987, you know.
Starring John Cena.
I'd watch it. Hell, heck yeah.
Watch it
but then, yeah, I mean, there's got to be a danger. He's spreading himself too thin, right? Like, you mentioned Lioness, which I haven't seen. I think there's another one. Isn't Lawman Bass Reeves, isn't that him too?
No, I don't know. It could be.
Okay, I think it's another new Western series. But that's always the danger, I think. And we talked about, you know, is that somebody gets so hot that they can't or won't say no to anything.
Right.
And they try and then you kind of dilute what made you special and different in the first place.
And I don't blame them. Cash ends. They throw me through $1 billion at him. He's got to churn out these shows. And Yellowstone, I had an issue until, actually, I'm going to tell you what I had an issue with at Yellowstone. Can you stick around through the break? It's very short. And
absolutely.
We'll keep you. I got a lot more questions for you, Rob, and not much time. So Rob Thomas is the guest. Text us or call in your least favorite Christmas song. We want to hear it. We'll be right back with Rob Thomas on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
And we begged her not to go, but she forgot her medication.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. We had to play that again just to put that song in Rob Thomas's head. But thank you for coming on the show. A couple more texts here. One more text, actually. Someone texted in. Their least favorite Christmas song is Please Daddy, Don't Get Drunk on Christmas. That's by John Denver. And I have to admit, I'm a Denver nerd. I love John Denver. I think his songs are great. I think they hold up. I've never heard that song, but I will be. Conrad, maybe you could pull that up while I talk to Rob or something.
Yeah, sure. I'll pull it up.
I'm curious to hear what that's like. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I'm talking to Rob Thomas from the Capital Times in Madison. He is joining us to talk all things show business. So, Rob, what I was going to say about Yellowstone is I stuck with it for a couple seasons, and there's this character called Rip. I don't know if you remember him, but I think the whole point of the scene was to try to make him likable. And
Okay. There's
these two tourists that are on the side of a mountain about 20 feet down, and they're scared, and they're clinging to the mountain, and they're in street clothes. And I'm going, like, how did they both get down there at the same time? The same distance. They didn't climb up. It's 100 feet tall, and they both either fell 20 feet down, and by nature's luck, they grabbed the cliff at the same. It just didn't make any sense. And I'm like, this is such lazy writing. And this guy's a great writer. I know he doesn't write every episode, but that I was like, okay, I think I'm done with Yellowstone. It's just like one thing, and I hate that because I didn't mind it up until then. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if you stick with it, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But
okay,
is there a Christmas movie you can't turn off when you see it?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie.
Great film.
Period. Like, yeah. It's the one I make time to watch every year. I mean, and it's back when it used to be on like public access, like, cause it was for free. Now it's only on like once a year, but it used to be on all the time. I make sure I'd watch it. That's my favorite. But I mean, also, if Die Hard's on, you got to finish watching Die Hard. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you know, no matter where you are in that movie, you're watching it until Hans Gruber falls out the window.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we had a discussion last night at whether or not it's a Christmas movie. Do you think it's a Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it takes place at Christmas. You know, it has sort of a heartwarming story of a husband and wife learning to, you know, there just happened to be a lot of dead bodies around, that touching story. So
it happens. Not every Christmas is the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've noticed this, and I don't know if you've noticed this, the whole point of streaming and all these apps, and I have every damn one of them, costs about $4,000 a month, was to not have commercials. And I know some of them, that's part of the drill, Freevee, Peacock, unless you want to pay the premium. Now, Prime and other apps are sneaking ads in. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What is going on there? And I think they know they have us and we're not going to cancel it. So what's the deal? Do you know anything? You have any inside information for us there, Rob?
I think that's exactly it. And I think what I think is that a lot of the streamers are either losing subscribers or they've kind of maxed out in terms of getting them. So they're like, well, we got to make more money somehow. So they're introducing a slightly lower tier and adding ads,
yeah.
or their existing tier. I mean, I'm paying I mean, seriously paying like $23 a month for Netflix now. And then,
yeah,
you know, ad free. Like it used to be half that, it seemed like.
I think it was like $8 a month when it started or something.
It seemed like that. Yeah. And then, and then you also hear like some of them are like it was at least they would have pretty good movie libraries. Like you, Paramount Plus would have all these Paramount movies.
Well, they're right.
cutting a lot of their backlog too, to sort of, I guess it saves them a little money. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I have to confess, I still have a lot of DVDs. I'm not getting rid of them just yet. You know,
see, that's smart.
There's no ads.
And I think that's how they do it. They know they have you. They sneak some ads in and they pull some good content. So you have to pay for it. It's like triple dipping and they dare you to cancel the app.
Yeah.
Well, it's my whole life. I'm not going to, you know, I watch a lot of TV and I like it. I'm an inside guy and I love my TV. So,
right.
I don't know. If you could, all right, here's a question for you. If you could only use three apps to watch content, what would they be?
Three apps. Well, so three streaming apps, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I would say Netflix, just because they really do have the most shows and movies where I'm like, oh, I should watch that. You know,
that's love hate.
I mean, I Prime is pretty good. Hulu, I haven't watched much on lately. I'm going to say the Criterion channel, I'll be honest, I don't watch as much as I should, but that's sort of, you know, that a lot of great classic movies on that.
Yeah.
There's also, I gotta say, there's, do you know what Tubi is?
Oh, sure.
Like that Tubi is fantastic.
Yeah.
Cause it's first
Pluto,
all, it's free.
Too. Yeah.
It's free Pluto. And you get all this, it is like all this stuff that is like not available anywhere else. Some of it's horrible. It'd be even that entertaining, and some of it's good. Like,
yeah,
and so, and it's with ads, but like if it's with ads and it's free compared to Prime is $12.99 with ads or whatever.
Right.
I mean that feels like a deal to me.
And
so,
I don't mind, like if it's The Godfather with a couple ads, I'd rather watch something with ads that's good rather than some crappy thing. Like, oh, this movie's horrible, but at least I can watch it all the way through.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So. We got a couple more minutes, Rob. So I have to ask you, we're asking people tonight what their least favorite Christmas song is. Do you have one of those?
I mean, I love the Beatles. I love Paul McCartney. But Wonderful Christmas Time is, to me, the worst Christmas song. I used to hope I would get through Christmas without hearing it and sort of mark how far I got into it. And one year I got to December 23rd before I heard it in Target or something like that.
Well done.
It's genuinely unpleasant to listen to, I find, you know?
I can't believe I didn't think of that one earlier because I have War Is Over on here by Maroon 5. And I don't even like the John Lennon one. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's a nice song. It's just one I'm done with, you know, as much as I like the Beatles as well, you know?
Yeah.
So we have about a minute left. Tell us, I know you saw Killers of the Flower Moon, which I haven't yet because I don't have 4 hours to kill. I'm guessing you went to see it a week ago and got out a few hours ago. So tell us what you thought of that.
Yeah, that's why it took me 2 months to see it. We couldn't find 4 hours in a row to go see it. But like Sunday afternoon we went and I felt the length, I got to say.
Yeah.
Like compared to Oppenheimer, to me, like, flew by.
Yeah,
this one I felt the length a little more, but it's really good. I mean, it's, you know, fantastic acting, fascinating, horrifying story, and you know, Scorsese just has this way with, you know, telling this kind of story over multiple years. So I mean, I highly recommend it. But it's a great snowy afternoon movie.
Oh, that's well said. That's awesome. All right, Rob Thomas, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. We'll talk again soon. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Pete. You too.
All right, you got it. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Listening to the Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.